Blog Talk Radio.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this. But every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war. Because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said, the destiny of man is not measured by material computations. Great forces around the moon and the world, we learn they're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Welcome to Deeper Truth, and what an opportunity again this is for us to be able to share and proclaim God's Word, and in context of what's been going on in with President Biden and what has happened as a result of our getting out the retreat out of Afghanistan. And I think it's important for us to understand that, because as Americans, we have always, always done and sought to do the right thing when it comes to getting our people out of there, not leaving anybody behind. I think that that is just an important thing. And then also bringing people into our country without vetting them very well. And so there's a couple of things here. I've got John the Virginian, John Banco, who's going to be coming on here. I'm going to cover a couple of these points, and then I'd love to get his position on some of these things. First, Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas led a letter with three of his GOP Senate colleagues, and this is being reported by Fox News, pressing President Biden on child brides. And this is here in the United States. We're not talking about in Afghanistan or someplace remotely in the Middle East. We're talking about here in the United States that they're pressing President Biden on child brides. We're talking about children reportedly found among Afghan refugees. Cruz, alongside fellow Republican Senators Ron Johnson of Wisconsin and Tom Cotton of Arkansas and Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, demanded answers from the president on the reports that child brides had evacuated from Afghanistan to the U.S. And they're saying this is what's being reported. We write regarding credible reports that your administration's withdrawal from Afghanistan facilitated the transport and trafficking of child brides and other Afghan girls subject to sexual abuse by Afghan men. The senators began the letter exclusively, and this was obtained by Fox News. Now, just this whole thing. John, what do you think about that? I mean, coming from our own country, from within, with these refugees.
Donald, every time that you think that they've crossed the last threshold of depravity and sickness and they can't go any farther, then they do. What a question in my mind right now, Donald, is what will history say about us if we do make it to the other side of this? If America is transformed and reborn again, and we look back through the pages of history, and I'm talking about history books that are actually written that actually show what actually happened, and you don't get a lot of that in history recently. There's a lot of historical revision. But if people are able to actually look back 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now at 2021, what will they say about us? What will they say about us as a nation? Not only that we allow this demented reprobate to take the White House. I don't even want to say be elected, because we both know he wasn't elected.
Exactly.
But what will they say about the American people that just stood by staring at their smartphones while this administration systematically destroyed our country and turned us against every principle that this nation was founded on? This is the kind of thing that just 50 years ago, 40 years ago, even 20 years ago would have elicited the moral outrage of the country. And yet, where is it? The country, for the most part, is silent.
Yeah. And speaking about silence, I mean, I was, just for this morning, I was looking to see anything recent that I could find that dealt with Afghanistan and the torture of Afghans that supported the United States, or even Christians, or even Americans that are still behind enemy lines. I'm not finding anything that is being reported by anybody. Maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago. It just seems like since Biden has wanted to turn the page, the media is kind of following suit. And so you have to really dig to find anything that is, because right now the news has been about the southern border and this Haitian refugees that's been coming in and where they've gone and where they're being all over the country. I'm hearing a lot more about this whole thing about the vaccine, getting a booster. They're doing everything they can to take our eyes off what's happening. And that's something I don't want to allow to happen. That's why I'm referring to this. Think of this, just to This is something that they're saying here. We are deeply concerned that your withdrawal has imported an acute human rights crisis to our country, in part because you and your administration appear to have been wholly unprepared for the scope and nature of the operation. Citing multiple news reports on the matter, the senators pointed out that Secretary of State Antony Blinken told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee that there have been cases where administration officials have witnessed and separated over concerns related to such abuse and trafficking. These reports about trafficking and the horrific treatment of Afghan girls are in addition to reports that an Afghan male convicted of rape who had previously been deported was brought back during the evacuation. Can you believe that? Such failures are why a group of senators are demanding answers about what steps are being taken to vet individuals evacuated from Afghanistan. And so Senator Cruz and his colleagues blasted the administration as having no policy for dealing with these issues, as well as going mum when the State Department begged for guidance. I mean, this is just outrageous, John. No question about it.
It is outrageous, and where to start? I'm going to talk about something that's a little bit unrelated, and I'm going to circle it back and bring it all together and explain where I'm going from this. You just saw the results of the so-called audit in Arizona, right?
No, I have not.
They're confirming that Biden won the state of Arizona. And, but you and I know that that recount, that audit process was tainted from start to finish. We weren't allowed access to voting machines in Maricopa County. They didn't purge the voters off the rolls who double voted or, who were ineligible to vote, and just all kinds of irregularities that they didn't fix. So basically all that they did was just recount the illegal votes. You know, it was all a sham. It was a sham audit, just like it was a sham original election. And, of course, you're going to get the same result. The point that I'm making is that can be applied here, too, because we still have the same sham process, same sham policies in place. And this is what happens when you have a government that's not accountable to the people. There's an old saying, when you have a government that fears the people, you have democracy. When you have a people that fears the government, then you have tyranny. And that's what's happening right now, Donald, is that our government has shifted from democracy to tyranny. They're not accountable to the people. Well, when you have a tyrannical government like that, it's unreasonable to expect that you're going to have moral people that are going to run it. Moral people don't run tyrannies. You know, people will talk about the monarchy of the Catholic Church in its early ages. Well, there's a difference between a monarchy and tyranny. When you have tyranny, you have exploitation of the people. You have people not looking out for the best interests of the people. And that's what you have here. You have people living in their ivory towers, living in their gilded mansions, like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, people like this, Maxine Waters, living in their mansions while their own people are in squalor and filth. So they don't care about the people in their own districts, and they don't care about the slaughter of the unborn. Well, why would they care about this? So it's kind of sickening, Donald, that, I mean, you're looking at it from a political perspective, but I'm looking at it from a religious and moral perspective. The United States is being forced to suffer the consequences of its own apathy and depravity for the last 50 years, 60 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just continues. You know, a Taliban. Think about this.
But the worst thing is, Donald, let me just say one more thing. The worst thing is that whenever something like this happens historically, the people who bear the brunt of the suffering are the innocent, especially the children.
Oh. Yeah, most certainly. And just what we've done here, think about this. Now, going back to Afghanistan, a Taliban founder says strict punishment, amputations to return to Afghanistan. Now, you know, yeah, that's I mean, unbelievable. But, you know, they're wanting to bring Sharia law here. That's what they're wanting to do. They're wanting to try to bring that kind of Sharia law in their communities. And where do you see them when they come here to America? Do you see them really kind of getting into society and just kind of like a melting pot? I don't see that. I see what they're doing in Europe in the same way, that they are building communities police are actually afraid to go into these communities.
And our early presidents, like President Monroe, for instance, recognize this. President Thomas Jefferson, they recognize this. They recognize that, you know, when you talk about Lady Liberty, give us your tired, give us your poor, your fleeing masses, that's great. Fulton Sheen, I think, said it best when he was describing communism, but it could be applied here. Fulton Sheen said it best when he talked about the four people building their home in a new town. And the first person builds their home and decides to heat it with gas. And the second person builds their home and decides to heat it with oil. The third person builds their home and decides to heat it with coal. And the fourth person decides to build his home and heat it with the wood from the houses of the other three people. You can't get along with that guy, okay? You can't get along with that guy. You can't coexist with that guy. And that guy is Islam. People are going to call me a xenophobe and an Islamophobe and all these kinds of things, but anyone that does a sober, honest reflection on the religion of Islam can see that it's a religion that has never gotten along with its neighbors and never will get along with its neighbors because it's not designed to get along with its neighbors. You know, we were talking recently on one of our shows. You know, September 11th, they chose that day, September 11th, to avenge a defeat at the Battle of Vienna. I think it was in the 1600s. And if they had conquered the Christians in Vienna, they were going into Rome. That was their intention, was to go into Rome. So they've always been a religion of conquering. The only thing that has changed now is the method by which they conquer. They recognized they couldn't send a force in to conquer the United States by military force. So what is their plan to conquer? Their plan to conquer is to emigrate here people under the guise of peace, a religious, peaceful religion. We want to move to America. And then as they multiply and get in large enough numbers to vote themselves in office, then they're going to impose Sharia law on us. Anyone that can't see this coming is blind. And, you know, people say, what countries, you know, can you point to that would signify that this is coming? What? Have you paid any attention to history? All of the major Muslim nations, so many of the major Muslim nations used to be democratic nations, used to be peaceful democratic nations. Iran, Afghanistan are just two examples. All right, look at what's happening in France. France is on fire. Look at what's happening now in Canada. You've got church burnings in Canada, okay? And guess what? People don't want to talk about it, but there have been multiple attacks on Catholic churches in America. More than 100 attacks on Catholic churches in America in the last, what, year and a half or so?
That and cemeteries. They've been attacking cemeteries as well.
We're trying to make peace. We're trying to make peace with people who enslave 12-year-old girls and force them into marriages, okay? We're trying to make peace with people who, if that 12-year-old girl is raped by her own uncle and they can't provide four witnesses that he raped her, we're trying to make peace with people that will stone her, the 12-year-old girl. I'm sorry if I'm going to be called an Islamophobe or xenophobe or whatever, but I don't think it's inaccurate to call these people barbarians. That's what they are. It's not xenophobic to call a barbarian a barbarian.
This is barbarian. You know, under the Taliban's previous rule in Afghanistan, which you have to go before the 20 years that we were there, a guy by the name of Turabai, he served as justice minister and head of the so-called Ministry of Propagation of Virtue and Prevention of Vice. This was a position that the Associated Press stated was the religious police. During that time, amputations and executions were carried out for criminal offenses, including theft and highway robbery. According to Turabai, those same practices will be brought back. Cutting off hands is very necessary for security, he said, claiming it was a deterrent to theft and other crime. I mean, in America, that kind of thing has never been something that we had ever catered to. I remember, I guess, at one point in time, they would put people in stocks and some people would throw tomatoes at them, I guess, you know, for some of the things.
Donald, you know what the irony of this is? The irony of this is if you get your hand cut off for theft, Joe Biden's would be cut off at the shoulder. I mean, let's talk. You want to talk about theft? You want to talk about somebody who is stolen from the American people? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's absolutely, but his entire career and his family's entire career, there's been the stench of theft and corruption and depravity. I mean, some of the things that his son was into with the molestation of those girls in China and I mean, you're talking about a party. Do you know the Democratic caucus just voted on codifying Roe versus Wade and allowing abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy? And the 219 members of the Democratic caucus voted on this measure. Do you know what the vote was? Are you ready for this?
No.
218 for and one against. I'd like to know who that one member was that voted against it. I'd like to look that up. 218 out of 219 members of the Democratic Party voted to allow abortion, the killing of a child, through all 9 months of pregnancy. This is the party that is now in power in the United States.
Well,
so, you know, the question that we have to ask is, how much wrath are we storing up for ourselves? How much wrath when our Blessed Lady is no longer able to restrain the arm of her divine son and hold back his divine justice? What wrath is waiting in the United States? Because this is... All these people that pulled out of Afghanistan the way that they did at Joe Biden's behest, and who knows who's actually pulling the strings. Joe Biden half the time doesn't know what day of the week it is. Does anybody really believe that he's pulling all the strings? So who's really pulling the strings? Okay, who's really pulling
Obama.
The strings?
I think Obama's behind it.
Right. And do you really believe that they didn't understand what would be the ramifications of pulling out the way that they did? Can we really believe that they didn't understand that, that they were taken by surprise by this?
No, it was intentional.
Okay.
This has been intentional.
Because the question is, have you ever made a mistake in your life? I mean, a really big one? I have. Okay.
A bonehead mistake? Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, real bonehead, okay? But when you make that real bonehead mistake, you feel so bad about the consequences that you just do anything you can to try to fix it. I don't see that urgency in this administration. I don't see that urgency in trying to fix the mess they created at the border. I don't see that urgency in trying to rescue the people that were left behind in Afghanistan. And I certainly don't see that urgency in protecting these children being victimized and trafficked.
Unbelievable. And what's going on in the southern border?
But Donald,
if we're going to have an honest
political discussion here about where our country is and where our country is going, we cannot lay all of the blame on Joe Biden. We can't. Joe Biden is just a culmination of all of this. We have literally had all of the members or most of the members of both parties working against us for decades. And it's really interesting that in the last 60 years, almost 60 years, we really have had only two presidents that were really honestly looking out for the best interest in the United States.
You're talking about Reagan and Trump.
Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump were the only ones. You know, the one of the greatest underreported stories, and there's so many successes of the Trump administration, but probably the greatest unreported success of the Trump administration was his success against human trafficking. You would think that would make him such a hero that people would be lined up to make sure that he was reelected. But you had people working behind the scenes. You had the machinery working behind the scenes to make sure, you know, the one of the people involved with Dominion Software was on record before the election saying, oh, don't worry, Donald Trump's not going to be reelected. We've already made sure of it. We have a process in place to ensure that it's not going to happen. And they knew. They knew the fix was in. Okay? Some of the people on the court, like John Roberts is part of the problem. He refuses to even hear the cases. So some of the people, you know, let's put it this way. I'll tell you a name that you've hardly heard within the last year. Ghislaine Maxwell. Have you heard that name?
Not lately.
They've all gotten awful quiet about her, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, I think maybe Epstein was ready to talk. And that's why he killed himself. killed himself.
So-called killed himself.
I think that Maxwell is made it very, very clear to who she needs to make it very, very clear to that she has no intention of saying anything. And either she's terrified into silence, or maybe she's already been removed and we don't know about it. We need to do an entire show about this, Donald, about this problem of human trafficking.
Well, that is a major concern that I have, That is, well, and this has been going on with our southern border.
Donald, people need to open their eyes. People need to open up their eyes on human trafficking. Human trafficking is more than the pervert sitting on the park bench in a trench coat in the middle of July. It's more than that. It is huge. It is a global enterprise. It is a billions and billions and billions of dollars global enterprise that's around the world, and high-ranking members of government are in on it and profiting from it, including members of our own government, okay? Do you know what historically in the United States is the biggest day, the biggest event for the global trafficking of children for sex? It's going to make you sick, but it's been proven to be true. The biggest event annually around which these perverts meet together to organize their plans for global trafficking and buy and sell children for sex. You know what event that is?
You're not going to tell me it's St. Valentine's Day.
No, it's the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
Look it up. The Super Bowl. Look it up. Look it up, Donald. Okay? And let's think about this. Let's think about this. If you wanted to go to the Super Bowl, and I know who your favorite team is. I'm not even going to talk about your favorite team. We're going to say Team X against Team Y are playing in the Super Bowl. Okay? And you wanted to go. How much do you think a ticket would cost you?
Oh, gosh.
Could you or I go to the Super Bowl? No. We're talking about huge amounts of money. All right. And where is that money coming from? A lot of that money is coming from well-positioned people in high places that are profiting from human trafficking. It's sickening, Donald. It's sickening. All right. And let's talk about the other industry that exploits children for money, blood money, is the abortion industry. The abortion industry is another billions and billions of dollars industry worldwide, blood money, money that's soaked and drenched in blood. And like I said, these people are living high and mighty lives, living in mansions, Joe Biden and Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi, they're living in mansions that are literally purchased with the blood of children.
Oh, sure.
They are.
Schumer.
They are.
Yeah, they are. Durbin, all of those far left.
Well, there's feces on the sidewalks of the districts in which they're in. That's the state of the districts that they rule over, and I don't even say govern, rule over, and that's what they want to bring to the entire country. And this is the state of the United States. And you know what's caused it? It's true that the 2020 election was stolen from us. But the 2020 election was only able to be stolen from us because during the midterms, we elected Democratic governors in Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. That we elected these people, these corrupt people. And it's because of some of the blame has to fall on conservative Christian Republicans. You can't sit home during a midterm election. Now we're at the point now where you have to openly wonder if elections even mean anything anymore. Is the fix in every election going forward? And I would argue with the recall election in California and the audit that was done in Arizona, I would argue that as Exhibit A and Exhibit B in making the case that elections don't even matter anymore. But the fix is in every election going forward. You know, one of the few states that has an election this year of consequence is my own state.
Virginia?
I haven't been following it. Yeah, I haven't been following the governor's race in Virginia. You know why? Because I know the fix is in. The recent polls are showing that the Republican is running dead even with Terry McAuliffe. Terry McAuliffe's going to win that election. No doubt in my mind. The fix is in. They'll print or create enough votes to keep the Democrat in power. I have zero hope that the Republican is going to – in fact, I'm not even going to vote. I'm not even going to bother to go to vote because I know that it's meaningless. And that's
what they want you to feel. They want you to think that it's meaningless. Exactly. I mean, that's and if you decided to do that,
in
how many more out
election,
there would stay home?
Donald, in the 2020 election, 1.1 million votes were switched in the state of Virginia. Did you know that? In my state, 1.1 million votes were switched. They were either added to Biden's total or subtracted from Trump's total. Now, that's the real thing. When the vote returns are coming in, Trump was getting negative votes. In other words, they would update the votes, and then when they updated it the next time, Trump had less votes than he had the last time. Well, negative votes is something that has never happened in the history of the United States. It's absolute, provable, demonstrated voter fraud. Well, where's the outrage? Where's the outrage? Where's something being done about it? You know, it's like...
The outrage is it's because people have become apathetic. People have become where as long as they got their little piece of the pie, as long as they can kind of have some standard of life, which that is decreasing and decreasing and decreasing, because you think all this inflation ain't going to have an effect?
That's all these rising prices? That's true.
Everything.
You opened up by playing a clip from Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan said that the loss of freedom is never more than one generation away. And sometimes in order to treasure and appreciate what you have to lose it. And I think that's what's happening in the United States. The United States has for so long taken the freedom that it has for granted. Now we've lost it. This is not a free country, Donald. It's not. It's not a free country. Would a free country elect Joe Biden as president? Not a million years. This is a guy that couldn't get 60 people to a rally. And in reality, did Joe Biden get 81 million votes? No. No.
No
way. If he got 50 million, I'll be shocked. And even among the 50 million, of that 50 million, I'll bet 30 million of the 50 million were people that were just voting against Trump.
That's probably true.
And yet, here he is sitting in the White House. Well, that's not freedom. When the guy that you voted for, when the guy the country voted for is not the guy that's installed as president, it's not freedom anymore. It's not democracy anymore. Now, Joseph Stalin once said, it's not the person who votes that counts. It's the person who counts the votes that counts. And that's where we're at, Donald.
That's exactly where we're at.
All of the greatest crimes that have been committed against the United States, taking prayer out of schools, abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy, these are things that were imposed on the American people. The American people never voted for these things. And did the American people vote for what happened in Afghanistan? No, that was imposed on us. I guess if we're looking for some direction in all this, and we're looking for, okay, what do we do? Well, we talked about this just the other day in one of our other shows, is abandonment to divine providence. The American people have got to turn first back to God. That's what needs to happen. We've got to become a godly people again, because until we do, the American people in the greatest election of all, the American people are now facing the greatest election of all, all right? And that is an election between it's both concerning God. The election right now is the American people have to choose between the mercy of God and the justice of God. That's the election right now. And unfortunately, people by the millions, Donald, are voting for the justice of God over the mercy of God. And that's a real bad decision. That's a real bad decision. But that's
not
what they're doing,
yeah,
with their actions.
Think of this. FBI Director Christopher Wray, you recognize that guy?
Mm-hmm.
He said Wednesday, he said that law enforcement officials are concerned Afghanistan could once again serve as a staging ground for terrorist groups following the chaotic U.S. withdrawal from
okay. So, no, I think he's wrong. Once again, surge as a staging ground? No, it's not going to be a staging ground for terrorism now. It's going to be a factory for terrorism. It's going to be mass-produced terrorism. We now have more money going to the terrorists than ever before, more weaponry now into the hands of the terrorists than ever before. Thank you, Joe Biden. Okay? And they have the will and the motivation of thinking, oh, we just humiliated the United States. We just sent the United States running away screaming. Anyone that thinks that another 9/11 times 10 is not coming to the United States is just delusional. They're just delusional, Don. It's not a question of it. It's not a question of it. It's a question of when, because right now we have an administration in place that is not interested in defending the United States. When you look at the infiltration that's coming at the southern border, you look at what's happening in Afghanistan, you look at the fact that we're now re-exporting all our money to the OPEC nations, we're looking at the fact that China has compromised our election systems. Everything that we do is at the bidding of the Islamists and the Chinese. Everything that our country is doing. So anyone that thinks that we're not vulnerable for another 9/11, okay, the only question we have to ask ourselves is how much worse is the next 9/11 going to be? How much worse is it going to be? Because it's coming. That's a fact.
Not only that.
It is absolutely
not only that,
coming.
But the ingrown terror that will result as a result of all of this too, because of what you just said with all the people that are coming in. Think of this, in Iran, they've got about 50,000 volunteers ready, signed up as suicide. You know, they want to go out in a blaze of glory as martyrs for Allah. I mean, think what that can mean and be if you give them.
Donald, they're going to get their blades. Make no mistake about that. They're going to get their blades. When they arrive at that blaze, they're going to think that, well, maybe we didn't think this through. You know, maybe this wasn't the best course of action for us when they arrive at that blaze.
Unfortunately, teach them that way from little kids. They kind of groom them up to be that way. That's sad. That's horribly sad. Hezbollah, you know, their hatred of Israel. That's the way they're raised.
Yeah.
And they think they're right.
I'm reminded of the words of a song that we play on this show a lot, Where Do the Children Go? And who's this deadly piper who leads them astray? And we know. I mean, we know who this deadly piper is. And right now, this deadly piper is driving the car. He's driving the car.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were warned about this. We were warned about this by the Bible. We were warned about this by all the mystics and the Catholic seers over the age. But you can't continue to have this blood and murder and filth running through our streets like an open sewer. And you know, God is a people want to focus on the love and the mercy of God, and we should focus on the love and mercy of God. But we can't focus on the love and mercy of God to the exclusion of the justice of God. The same God who's all merciful is all just. And he must punish sin. He must punish unrepentant sin. And
well,
you know, Donald, a lot of people are not responsible directly for what our government is doing, but they're responsible indirectly. And each one of us needs to examine our own souls and our own consciousness and say, where have we gone wrong and what can we do to turn this away? And we need to be voting. We absolutely need to be voting, but we need to be voting with our rosaries. We need to be voting for our rosaries.
Oh, certainly.
We need to be going into the streets rather than trying to change things at the ballot box. Maybe you and I disagree on this, but I think it's too late for that. I think it's too late to change things at the ballot box. We have to go in and change individual hearts and individual minds, and leave it to God to change the hearts and the minds of the people who are in power, the people who are able to affect things in the process. Because right now, if I vote at the ballot box and there's 10 illegal votes that cancel out my legal vote, I'm not accomplishing anything there. And the powers that be, whatever you think about Donald Trump as a person, a lot of people think Donald Trump was gruff and abrasive and all that. And, you know, maybe there's some truth to that. But you should, if you're an American citizen and you love what America stands for and America was founded on, you should be very, very frightened by the process and the people that thrust him out of office. We took a president that was reelected with more votes than any president in American history. That is the fact, Donald. Donald Trump got more votes than any president in American history. Any incumbent or anyone running for office, Donald Trump got the most votes ever for any president ever. Right? That 81 million votes that Joe Biden got is an illusion. He probably got half that, probably barely half that. Okay?
That's
we
what
know
makes
this.
It so.
We know We have a process in place that took the president who got the most votes in American history and prevented him from taking the oath of office. That should really scare you.
The socialism and Marxism and communism, they have one thing that is in common. It's that the end justifies the means. So they can cheat, they can do whatever they feel that it takes to win.
And
that's
that
what
like?
And how they hold power.
Who does that sound like? Sounds like the devil to me.
Oh, of course.
Jesus called him the father of lies. He's the father of lies. And that's what's happened right now. Right now, the person who is running the United States of America is Lucifer. That is, it's just a fact. And like I said, now if you want to go up and show up election day and vote, hey, more power to you. I'm not going to, you know, say that you have to answer to your own conscience as to what you feel is the right thing to do in that respect. But I will say this. This battle is going to be won and lost by our rosaries, by our masses, by our adoration. That's where this battle is going to be won and lost. What we do, what God leads us to do in the streets and at the ballot boxes and everything afterwards, I'll leave that to God's divine providence, and I'll follow God's divine providence wherever it leads me. But make no mistake, the rosary and the mass and adoration and the sacraments and the saints is what's going to win this battle, Donald. And that's just fact. You agree?
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. I mean, we definitely, I still feel like the importance as an American to vote and to vote your, I mean, we have to vote. I agree with especially with what you were saying about the rosary. And I'm hoping that enough people will see
Biden. I agree with you about the duty to vote and the privilege. Okay. But can you honestly tell me that what we had in November of 2020 was a legitimate election?
Oh, of course it wasn't. I mean,
it's not even close. Not even close. And the thing about it is that people want to focus on a handful of states and say, well, you know, you could make an argument that Arizona was stolen from Trump. Well, they can say what they want about the recount and the audit in Arizona. Arizona was stolen from Trump, period. Period, full stop. There is no way in this earth. There is a better chance that I am going to win Mr. Universe and be starting quarterback in the next Super Bowl than there is that Joe Biden won Maricopa County, Arizona. Okay? It didn't happen.
Yeah.
No chance. You're talking about a county that hadn't been won by any Democrat going back to Harry Truman. Joe Biden is the guy that's going to break that streak? Are you kidding me? All right? So there's no chance. There's no chance that Joe Biden won Maricopa County, Arizona. And as a result of not winning Maricopa County, Arizona, there is no chance that Joe Biden won Arizona. But this isn't just about Arizona. Okay? Joe Biden didn't win Nevada. He didn't win Wisconsin. He didn't win Michigan. He didn't win Pennsylvania. He didn't win Georgia. But it doesn't end there either. Virginia was stolen from us, Donald. New Hampshire was stolen from us. Minnesota was stolen from us. Okay? You can make the argument that New Mexico was stolen from us. Even Colorado, you can argue that was possibly stolen from us. There's no question that Virginia and New Hampshire were. There's no question about it. I mean, the proof is in the numbers. All you got to do is look at Virginia District 1 and see that, hey, wait a minute. The fix was in.
But what was,
when the Republic?
What was it, like 29 states had counties that had more votes than they had voters?
Mm-hmm. I think it was over 300 counties in 29 states that had overvotes. Okay, and folks, if you're listening, here's what an overvote says. The overvote says that in X county, okay, let's just say the county I live in, Warren County, Virginia, and I'm just throwing that out because that's the county I live in. Let's just say Warren County, Virginia had 300,000 registered voters, and the total number of votes counted was 350,000. What?
Yeah.
I mean, Pennsylvania is really, that's the beauty. They sent out 1.8 million mail-in absentee ballots. They sent out 1.8 million votes of ballots. They counted 2.5 million.
And let
now,
them count.
Unless Jesus is running the election, there's no way that happens. Because you've got a kind of a fish and loaves thing in reverse here. There's more votes counted than there were votes going out. So unless you got some miraculous multiplication of votes, which we know we didn't have, you got voter fraud. Okay? And if you follow the law, there's no having to make new laws or whatever. If you just follow the law, the 700,000 votes or whatever they were in Pennsylvania that were counted and there were no Republican overseers, The law of the land says those votes have to be counted out. They have to be thrown out. You throw out those votes, guess what? Donald Trump just won Pennsylvania. In Wisconsin, every mail-in ballot that's counted has to have a corresponding application. If you throw out all of the votes in Wisconsin that did not have a corresponding application, guess what? Donald Trump won Wisconsin. In Georgia, if you throw away the voters that were not 18 years old, that were not at least 18 years old, just throw those votes out, guess what? Donald Trump won the state of Georgia. Guess what, Donald? I don't have to go any further. I'm not going to even bother to go any further. I'm not going to talk about in Nevada all the people who were out of state who voted. Swings Nevada to Donald Trump. State after state after state, all you have to do is follow the law. It's not up to us to prove that these were fraudulent votes. And that's what the judges kept saying. Oh, you got to prove these were fraudulent votes. That's not what the law says. The law says if you don't meet this standard, it's not a legal vote. Well, when we get to the point where the law doesn't matter anymore, when we as a country get to the point where the law doesn't matter anymore, well, then we shouldn't be surprised that 12-year-olds are being forced into marriage to perverts, and babies are being killed in their mother's womb, and all these other horrors that have happened. This is a result of getting to a point where the law doesn't matter anymore. Because when the law doesn't matter anymore, then the lawless are the ones who come into power, the ones who don't care about human rights, the ones who don't care about right and wrong. And ones who are lawless and don't care about right and wrong and don't care about human rights, it's the old adage about feeding the crocodile. You're on a desert island, you feed all the people to the crocodile one after another, in hopes that you'll be able to appease the crocodile so the crocodile won't come after you. Well, you know what John Kennedy said? John Kennedy said at his inaugural address that those who rise to power by riding the back of the tiger will one day find themselves inside the tiger. John Kennedy said that. All right, he was right. And I'll just ask you this. I know we got to wrap this up here. I'll just ask you this. Could John Kennedy run today as a Democrat? I say no way. No chance.
No. No, in fact, that's where Ronald Reagan got a lot of his foundations, was John F. Kennedy. So, and you're right, it is time. But, this isn't getting any better. It's getting worse. And it doesn't seem like it's going to – I mean, there's just too few voices out there. Ted Cruz is one that is he's standing up and others are standing up. But there's too few. And the media is just totally in tank because they have this communist, socialistic, Marxist mindset. And China –
All of that is true, Donald, and I think the American people, what we need to do as American citizens, this is now a grassroots battle, and that's how we're going to win this battle. And I don't even, when I say that, I don't even have any idea what victory looks like. Victory could be saving the ship. Or victory could be that we've already hit the iceberg and now we're trying to save as many people on the ship as possible. So I don't honestly know what victory looks like, but I do know in whose hand victory is.
Oh, sure.
I think that deeper truth and venues like deeper truth are actually playing a larger role in this battle than the politicians running for office are.
Think about it.
I'm not saying that there aren't politicians like Ted Cruz who have the right agenda, who have the right attitude, but there's too few of them, like you said, to really make a difference. And this battle is being fought above our pay grade. It really is. This is not a battle between Ted Cruz and Chuck Schumer. This is a battle between St. Michael and Lucifer. That's where this is being fought. This is a battle between God and the devil. And everything else, and I'm not saying that one is to the exclusion of the other. I'm not saying that we're supposed to pray and then fold our hands and give up and not be engaged and not do anything. That's not what I'm advocating. But what I am advocating is where the battle has to start. And we have to realize and focus on who the general is in this battle. And the general in this battle is not me and you, and it's not Ted Cruz. It's not. This is a battle for the hearts and souls and minds of the American people, and only by changing the hearts and souls and minds of the American people, shaking them from their apathy and turning this country back towards God, that's the only chance that we have. We can have all the right people and all the right policies in place. But, you know, was it George Washington? It was George Washington who said, you know, when a country ceases to be ruled by God and the Bible, it's on the road to destruction.
And that's where we are. That is true. That's exactly where we are. And that's why it's important for us to hang tough. Well, John, I thank you for coming on, man.
I want to be the first person to get behind the candidacy of St. Michael for president in 2024.
Well, I'm all definitely for St. Michael. But St. Michael, I think Trump is going to come back, and we'll see if he can do it. Well, he's supposed to be speaking tonight, by the way. So I'm going to be looking at that as well as Alabama. Alabama's got a big game tonight, too, and so does Notre Dame. So I hope your team wins
Notre Dame's got a big game in about an hour. This is going to be a game when we're going to find out what this Notre Dame, you know, I really believe this Notre Dame team has a chance of being a really good team, but you know, they're growing up fast in a lot of, you know, a lot of positions, but they can really take a big step today.
They can. They can get up there. Hopefully, maybe get a couple, 3 points just today. We'll see what happens. And of course, Alabama is going to maintain their number one spot for
now.
Who
does Alabama have today?
It's Southern Mississippi, I think it is. Southern Mississippi.
Oh. That ain't a big deal. You guys are playing a high school team.
No, this one's after last week. Last week was a good one. With Florida, really impressed me.
My personal belief is that the SEC is Alabama and Georgia, and the rest of the SEC is a dumpster fire. I do not believe in this. In this adage, the SEC is the greatest conference that college football has ever known. That's garbage. SEC is Alabama and Georgia, and the rest of the conference is garbage. It's just absolute garbage. Florida, garbage. Texas A&M, garbage.
LSU
lost to UCLA. Okay. I mean, the conference is garbage. It's absolute garbage. The only thing that you could say to the advantage of the SEC is that all of the other conferences are garbage too. This is one of those years when everybody is garbage. Clemson is garbage. Ohio State is garbage. You know, it's one of those years when the teams that you normally expect to be great. I would argue right now the best team in the ACC is North Carolina. I would argue right now the best team in the Big Ten is Penn State. You know, so
they look pretty good. They look pretty good against Auburn.
In the Pac-12, I would argue the best team in the Pac-12 right now is Oregon. So it's kind of a strange year. I'm not convinced about Oklahoma. that Oklahoma is all that in a bag of chips. It's just a really, really strange year with a strange feel. And the other thing is, I don't really buy into this argument that Alabama is head and shoulders above everybody else like in other years that we have seen. I look at Alabama, they're beatable. They're beatable. They probably are the best team in college football, or at least one of the two best teams in college football. I think they deserve to be ranked number one. But the gap is not what we're normally used to seeing. I look at
their
a couple of teams.
Their defense has shown some weakness. Their defense, which I thought was going to be their strength this year, but they sure, they've had some struggling, and offensively, I think that they've done pretty good, but the quarterback, he's still growing, so we'll see how he looks at the end of the year.
If I were a betting man right now, Alabama and Georgia on the neutral field, I go with Georgia. I think Georgia's defense is ferocious. That team. As a matter of fact, ironically enough, the only team in college football I think that has a defense that matches up to Georgia's defense we've already seen is Clemson's defense. Clemson's defense is unbelievable. The problem with Clemson is their offense is garbage. It's just, their offense is just non-existent at this point. Now,
well, the game
that they played
– Georgia won 10-3, and there was no scoring touchdowns in that game. There was a defensive score.
I watched that game, and that was a game you want a display of two monster defenses. That game was it. But the problem is that the problem is that Georgia is not going to face another defense like that Clemson defense. Okay. Georgia is a team capable of scoring 30 points on any team they play other than Clemson. But is Clemson capable of scoring 30 points on every team that they play other than Georgia? Clemson has already proven they're not. They only scored 14 against Georgia Tech. Well, if you can only score 14 against Georgia Tech, then you want no parts of Alabama or Georgia or, any of those big boys. You don't even want to be in that conversation. So to me right now, Clemson is not even in the conversation as far as the national championship and the playoff. If I were to pick the four best teams right now, if I were to try to name the four-team playoff right now, it would be Alabama, Georgia, Penn State, Oregon. Those would be the four that I would pick. I'm still not even convinced about Oklahoma. Oklahoma has struggled against Tulane. If you're struggling to beat and listen, I'm saying the same thing about my team. My team's got words too. If you're struggling to beat Toledo, you don't need to be talking about national championships at this point. Now,
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's true. And with Notre Dame, at least you can say, okay, it's youth. It's a new defensive coordinator. Notre Dame is still figuring out who they are. They're still trying to settle out their offensive line. They're still trying to get the pieces into place. Oklahoma, on the other hand, is a team that people picked to win the national championship. They're a team that was supposed to amaze us and impress us with their defense. Well, when your defense is giving up 35 to Tulane or whatever it was they gave up to Tulane, don't talk to me about how great your defense is. I don't even want to hear it. Okay, Clemson held Georgia to 10 points, and 7 of the 10 points that Georgia got was on a defensive touchdown. So Clemson held Georgia's defense.
That was like a 60-yard run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Clemson held Georgia's defense to 3 points. All right, so you can talk to me about Clemson's defense. They're in that conversation of the great defenses in college football. Shut up about Oklahoma's defense. Just shut up. They may have the personnel. They may have great players. Sometimes you can have great players, but you have the wrong scheme.
Before this last weekend, I would have put Alabama's defense there too. But I tell you, the way that Florida ran on them, that they exposed them a little bit. And so it'd be interesting to see how that goes on. Hey, man, we got to rock and roll, man. And may your team win. And I know mine's going to win today.
Well, so, yours better. I mean, if my team loses and they'll say, okay, well, you know, Notre Dame still got work to do. But if your team loses, they're going to say, what in the world is wrong with Alabama? what happened here?
Yeah.
If my team loses, it's not going to be a shock. Your team loses, it's going to be a shock. So that's all
I can
say.
Yeah, that would be
that.
A shock. All heard all over the world.
Yeah.
All right, John. We'll catch you
God
later.
God bless
man.
You. All right.
Yeah, you
Bye.
Too. Bye.
Kids, do your best to understand.